It's Thursday, March 31st, 2016, and welcome to episode 187 of Tech Talk for Teachers. I'm Tom Grissom.
And I'm Cindy Rich.
Welcome to Tech Talk for Teachers, the show about teaching and learning with technology. And this time we have a listener question we're going to address.
We do.
So we'll be talking about some of the possibilities and things that we use. The question revolves around, you know, how do you take advantage of some of the serendipity and things that comes into our lives, and how do we essentially like make notes or remind ourselves, you know, we have this brilliant idea and it's going to change the world, but I didn't write it down, so I forgot about it.
Right. And how do we get comfortable enough that we use the technology all the time that it's as simple as writing on a post-it note?
Right. Exactly. Sometimes that is the way to go. And then we'll be, of course, exploring some higher tech solutions as well. So sit back, relax, and here we go. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about taking advantage of serendipity, and today's episode is kind of driven by a listener question that I received about a week and a half ago, and I'm kind of thinking about it and asking some students how they handle various things. So I'm going to start off by reading an email from a listener from the United Kingdom. It starts out addressed to Tech Talk for Teachers. I love the mix of stuff on your podcast and now have caught up with the outstanding podcast I hadn't listened to before. This is actually a shame, as I now have to wait a month before the next one. So thank you for the compliment. I listened in the car, and I wondered if you had an answer to a problem I have. There are often times when I hear something on the podcast that I want to follow up on some way. Have you ever come across a solution noting in some way things that I want to follow up? I can't write while I'm driving, really. Any thoughts on that? Keep up the good work. Best regards, KW.
Very nice.
All right. Well, thank you, KW, for that compliment and question out there. So I've kind of been quizzing some students asking, you know, how do they record things and just kind of make notes. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, everybody has their own personal preference, and a lot of people don't do anything, I'm finding out. First of all, I guess I wouldn't recommend doing anything while you're driving in the car.
No.
You know, here in the United States, we have laws against texting and things in the car, so we certainly don't want to encourage any distracted driving.
Nope.
However, I'll explain some of the different tactics that I try to use in remembering things. And I often listen to podcasts in a car as well. That windshield time is just a perfect example, you know, to take advantage of some professional development. One of the things that I do is I have a Windows phone, and all the major brands have digital assistants, you know, personal digital assistants.
Sure.
And on the Windows side, the PDA is called Cortana. And on Apple is Siri.
Mm-hmm.
And on Android, I just know it as Google now.
Yeah, I don't know.
It whenever
has
you
a
say
name.
It, she, he, whatever. These digital assistants are becoming so personal and learning so much through artificial intelligence and machine learning that we tend to think, and, you know, in fact, just giving a name like Cortana or Siri, you refer, you know, as she instead of it. And it's very interesting times that we're living in, because there is a huge amount of development. Whether you're using Windows, Apple, iOS, or Android devices, there's a huge amount of effort going into these digital assistants. So what I do is, you know, pull the car off the side of the road, or if you have a co-pilot, you know, a chauffeur driving, driving along, as soon as it's convenient and safe, I will open up my phone, and everybody knows I'm a huge OneNote fan. So Cortana, I have plugged in to my OneNote. So just to give you an idea, we can ask questions, and we have a variety of devices here with us today. One of the things that we can do, let me unlock my phone here. I've got my phone plugged in to the mixer here, so you should be able to hear this. I'm going to click on the Cortana tile on my phone, and I can ask a question. Now, you can set this up that it's always listening. I don't do that. There's some privacy concerns and things like that. The same for Siri and Google Now.
Right.
But if I did that, I could just simply say, hey, Cortana. That would put her or it into listening mode. I prefer physically clicking that mic button to say, okay, Cortana, listen to what I'm saying.
On mine, if I assume with the Google Now, I say, okay, Google.
Yes.
Then it starts.
You have that auto listening. That's a setting you can turn on or off on your preference. But since we have three devices, let's just start off with something simple. Let's start off. This is Cortana. I'm going to click on my little microphone and ask a question. What is the weather?
Right now, it's 61 and mostly sunny.
Okay, and that's the weather for Charleston, Illinois. And Cindy, you've got, which one do you want to do first? You've got both an Android and an iOS device.
I do. Okay, we can do the iPad.
We'll see how accurate the weather here, I guess.
Turn up my volume. And I just double click on the home button on the iPad. What is the weather?
Here's the weather between today and April 9th, 2016.
Then does it just give you a text display?
Right. It announces it and then gives me the text display.
Okay. Everything's set up a little differently. I don't know if you have any control to change that. Let's try your Android device. And that was using Siri.
Right.
And then the Android would be using Google Now.
What is the weather?
It's 60 degrees and cloudy in Charleston.
Okay, 1 degree difference. Cortana said 61.
But it did give us the audio, so I didn't have to read anything.
Right.
Which was nice.
Right. You can ask just about any type of question. And this really goes back. There's a company in Champaign-Urbana, Wolfram Alpha, that a lot of these questions are fed to. So you can ask, it'll do math questions for you or something like that. So another thing, instead of dragging out a calculator or something, I can just on my phone open up Cortana and let's do a math problem. What's 332 divided by 16?
That makes 20.75.
Okay. So you can do your math homework with your phone. Now, as far as the digital assistant part, because I have my calendar and everything tied to this, I'm going to ask another question. What is on my schedule today?
I'm finding 4 events today. At 9:30 a.m., record Tech Talk 4 Teachers podcast with Cindy Rich. At 2 p.m., CTR subcommittee meeting at ITC Lab 1430. At 3:30 p.m., update curriculum website. And, at 4 p.m., post Tech Talk 4 Teachers podcast and show notes.
Okay, so those are just entries on my calendar.
You kind of do
hands-free activities and things, and it will read back to you. The other thing that I use oftentimes is the alarm feature.
Mm-hmm.
As my memory deteriorates over time, it's just kind of nice to have the alarms. And here in the ITC lab, a lot of times we're delivering carts and video cameras and equipment. So oftentimes I'll just make a little reminder note out there to do that. So let's see, it is now 9:42 a.m. on my phone. So I'm just going to go out here and set an alarm for a couple of minutes. Set an alarm for 9:44 a.m.
Okay, your alarm is set for 9:44 a.m.
Okay, so we'll continue the conversation here, but in a minute or two, whenever 9:44 rolls around, we should hear a little audible sound. Of course, you could, there we go.
There you go.
And let's hit dismiss. I can snooze it or dismiss it. I'll just hit dismiss. So that's handy, and as I said, you can hit, make it be on vibrate mode or something if you don't want, but that comes in very, very handy for me.
Okay, I've got one to share with you. This is on Siri. What is 0 divided by 0?
Imagine that you have 0 cookies and you split them evenly among 0 friends. How many cookies does each person get? See, it doesn't make sense. And Cookie Monster is sad that there are no cookies. And you are sad that you have no friends.
Okay.
So there are a couple of different ones like that that people have...
Oh, yeah. And they you can program in jokes, you can say, and you've probably seen these on the TV advertisements, and, Siri, tell me a joke or something.
Yeah.
that's one of the concerns with all this artificial intelligence. You know, it could be used for good or evil. Being society, we have a mixture of good behavior and bad behavior. Mm-hmm. And in fact, a couple of weeks ago, Microsoft had their Tay, what they called a chat bot, and it was out there, I think it was on Twitter, but using artificial intelligence and machine learning, and it kind of went to the dark side and started tweeting out racist comments and things.
Oh, wow.
So that's kind of a warning, a tale of warning out there about some of this, because the computers with the cloud-based connectivity and things, and really, you know, sci-fi is replete with examples mm-hmm. of, you know, what could possibly go wrong. And the robot overlords come and rule the earth. And there's just a lot to think about. And I think we need to tread very carefully as we move forward. A lot of ethics questions, and the technology has suddenly become, one, available, and two, affordable to the masses. So we've never been in a situation like this. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting going forward out
it
there.
It is, and to see how people use it. Are people using these things for work, or are they just using them for fun, silly stuff? Are they using them for traffic? Are they using, you know...
You do become dependent upon whatever digital assistant that you use. And I mentioned one of the things that I do quite frequently, and it seems to me, you know, we talk about serendipity and these ideas and things popping into your head, you know, whether you're driving down the road, or for me, it happens a lot of times when I'm walking. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll be thinking about something. It's like, oh, I need to write that down or something. You know, I almost always have my phone with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I can go out there, and let me just show you an example here. Cortana, take a note.
Taking a note.
Remind me to post the show notes at the end of the day.
Saving your note. Here's what I got.
That's correct. Okay, so the
when
other
you
thing...
Said Cortana, my phone picked up Call Connor, take a note.
Wow. That's the other thing, you know, with, uh-huh. if you're with a bunch of friends and, you know, you all have iPhones or something and you say, hey, Siri, you like wake everybody's up. And that's why I prefer doing the touch and having the control of doing that, because I'm sure there's been many practical jokes done on that behalf. And since April Fool's is coming up, that's tomorrow, right?
It is.
Beware of April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
Because there's all kinds of practical jokes you could do with something like that. Now, that note, because I said take a note, I have Cortana set up that goes into my OneNote notebook, and I have a special section called Quick Notes that I can go at the end of the day and file those wherever I would like to go. So it's really nice to go out there. The hands-free capability, and it does a very good job, you know, whether it's Cortana or Siri or mm-hmm. Google Now.
Yeah, I've got to go in and figure mine out, because it's like my is making notes of whatever you were saying.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How did you activate that? Did you hit the microphone?
Instead of the Google option that I was using before, I used S-Voice.
Okay.
And so I don't usually use that app.
And you activated it, so it was out there listening.
Apparently so.
Which, again, you know, and this has been an issue, and these concerns and conversations that we need to have as educators and with our students. You know, everybody basically has a recording device with them. You know, again, many, many examples of that. You know, how do you handle something like that in the classroom? You know, that's why some teachers say, well, put your cell phones away or whatever. Or some people will have policies against, you know, you can't record my lecture or whatever,
right.
unless it's for accessibility reasons. Because there are concerns, you know. I'm sure none of us want to have our words posted out, you know, on YouTube or SoundCloud or something out there just because you can. There's that etiquette that we need to... And in fact, I had this conversation the other day with a faculty member that was just starting a new OneNote notebook
mm-hmm.
that we were using the class notebooks, which have a collaboration space. And we just need to mention to the students and make them aware that, you know, this is a collaborative space. It's a group shared space. There's certain etiquette or just behaviors that we need to be aware of. That
right.
when you post, everybody in this class sees that. You know, if we're in a face-to-face classroom, obviously that's understood. because that's what we're used to. But if we're in a digital room, an online room, those same, you know, concerns apply.
Well, and sometimes we think we don't need to spell those things out.
We do.
We just assume that everybody's going to have the same set of rules that we do. And that, but, you know, we do. Yeah, we absolutely do. And it, and plus that just makes it easier because nobody gets embarrassed for doing the wrong thing or, you know, and it makes it a safe environment and all that.
Right. So, and not to take for granted, because I would encourage you to go out, you know, this week and ask your students. It's like, hey, do you use Siri? Do you use Google Now? Do you mm-hmm. use Cortana? And I've been doing that poll, and I would say well over half do not, which is kind of surprising for me, you know, with the millennials and the, you know, the mm-hmm. generation that has grown up with all of this. Again, being the older generation, we sometimes make assumptions that, oh, mm-hmm. you know, everybody knows all about this and are using it. They're just kind of those fads and things that come along.
Well, and that's just like we've talked about this before, too, that how many of my students don't want, like if they have important material, they don't want it online.
Right.
They want paper.
Right.
They still do. And that because so that they feel like they can read it better on paper than online.
And that is, I think, a learned preference, because I have gradually navigated away from that. Mm-hmm. But I remember having that same issue and problem whenever I was, using a typewriter back in the dinosaur days mm-hmm. and writing the papers. My thought process had always been with handwriting. And suddenly I switched to typing,
right.
And my thought process was different.
Yeah.
And it's a different thought.
Well, and I think visually, you know, if you have glasses, if you have vision problems or issues, that may come into play. I've not had students say they get headaches from reading things mm-hmm. online. And so, you know, you've just got all that. We have a lot of students with attention deficit
mm-hmm.
issues and things like that. And so all those things have a little bit of impact on what we're using in the classroom.
Yeah. So we'll go ahead and wrap it up. I want to thank KW for the question thing that kind of started us off on this conversation. And as I said, everybody's going to have a little bit different way. I like having things in OneNote because it's that central place. It's stored in the cloud, so I can access it on my phone. I can go home if I log into a laptop. Mm-hmm. I guess the other thing, productivity-wise, and we talk about serendipity, and I use Twitter as a professional learning network. I get many, many resources off Twitter, and Twitter's mm-hmm. just kind of a stream of consciousness of, you know, all of your followers out there, mm-hmm. and there's tons of great information out there. And another one that give you that I often use is I use the social bookmarking site Digo,
mm-hmm.
D-I-I-G-O. So if I come across an interesting site that somebody's, you know, tweeted, I'll forget that. You know, I'll read four or five more tweets, and that'll be a long ago thought. But if I bookmark that in Digo, I have it, and then I do my little flag keywords and things out there that I can find it. In fact, that's what I often do, which will be coming up on our technology pick of the week here next. It's what I often do for our tech picks of the week. I'll just mark a flag, TPOW.
Yep.
And then that way, whenever we come to the podcast, and I can say, well, what do I want to talk about this week? So we'll leave it there. As far as doing this and having access to this, you know, just need to be safe. You know, like I said, wouldn't recommend doing it, driving down the road in the car or anything. Pull off and be safe with all of that. But we do have plenty of opportunities. And that's also another reason that I try to be pretty detailed in the show notes to provide a link.
Right.
You know, and since this is an audio podcast, you can just always go out to our Tech Talk for Teachers blog, and the easiest way to get there is from the ITC website, eiu.edu/ITC. Click on Tech Talk, and then you'll find all of the show notes there. So we'll wrap it up there.
Very good.
My technology pick of the week this week is a new technology that's being featured this week out in San Francisco. The Build 2016 conference is going on out there, and this is Microsoft's developer conference. And there's been some new developments on the HoloLens front.
Mm-hmm.
HoloLens is this apparatus that you put around your face. It's and we kind of refer, many people have heard of Google Glass or mm-hmm. Google Glasses. It's kind of along those lines, and it allows you to see augmented reality, that is, reality that's mixed with real world with computer generated, you know.
So it's not blocking your vision in front of it. No. It's part of what you see.
Correct. And the technology has matured enough where things are happening in real time, so there's no delay. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, something that we have to do ahead of time. And they're moving very, very rapidly in this technology. In fact, yesterday, March 30th, Microsoft delivered the very first set of, they call them untethered, there's no wires or anything, delivered their first set of HoloLenses to the developers, and they are very, very expensive. They're like $3,000 right now. But over time, that the cost will come down. But just amazing possibilities for teaching and learning. Be sure to check out the show notes. I'm going to put two or three links out there to some YouTube videos. And one of the things that just kind of blew me away was a concept known as holoportation. Instead of, you know, in the old, whenever I think of like teleporting, I think of Star Trek, right. Beam me up. They essentially have that same concept in this holoportation, in that it still requires spatial equipment and 3D cameras, but you can essentially holoport someone from one room to another so you can be together interacting in real time. And it just blows my mind the possibilities for teaching and learning that's going to do. Got one example here where they have a scientist on Mars actually holoporting to Mars and able to look around and see the images and things. The consumerization of it, many car companies, airplane companies are using it for engineering.
For simulation.
Simulation. And it's even getting down to the consumer level. Some of the Lowe's stores, the home improvement stores, actually are developing some applications where you can go in and design your kitchen and then put on a HoloLens and see in three dimensions what your, you know, your cabinets would look like.
Very cool.
So it's just another level level up on what previously had been impossible. So since those glasses are going out to developers this week, I think we're going to start seeing some apps and applications out there for teaching and learning. I'll also provide another link for Case Western University is using it in their medical school to teach doctors for doctor training. And they have three-dimensional models of, you know, you name it, for human anatomy, beating heart, seeing the aortic valve, just things that, again, previously impossible, or just some opportunities out there. And it's gesture-based, so you can change your perspective, and it's just pretty amazing technology. So that's HoloLens, holoportation. You're going to start hearing a lot more of that as the developers start developing these apps and the price starts coming down.
Very cool. All right, well, I'm going to take it back to, you know, kind of beginner's level here. And that, but as you were talking about that, we were also just talking from as simple as like Street View in Google Maps and things like that, where, you know, these on your computer, it puts you in a location and you can turn and look around and move up the street and down the street.
Manipulating that environment.
Right, exactly. And then the other, something I found really interesting is the Google Cardboard, where, and this is one where it's different from what you were talking about, because you're not interacting with your real environment. It blocks your vision, so you're completely, right, you know, immersed in that and all. But this, you know, the different field trips and just looking at the site, it was, you know, using Google Earth, you can fly wherever you want and check out anything.
Right.
But instead of looking at a computer screen, you have these glasses. But you literally, you just put your phone in kind of a case type thing that fits on your head, and you can buy expensive ones, you can make your own out of cardboard, buy kits, whatever, and that. But you know, it's just kind of a neat, it's a different way for students to interact with information. But I did see there was one, there's an Arctic Journey, and you can fly along Arctic turns, create your own flower garden, and relax under the northern lights. And it's like, okay, I need to check that one out, because I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah. As all these technologies, your imagination just kind of starts running wild with all the possibilities and the capability that we've never been able to do. But at the same time, as teachers, as educators, I still think it's very important for us to keep both feet on the ground and go out and experience, you know, the real life. And I don't think that this is going to be necessarily be, you know, a total substitute for a lot of that. But it will provide opportunities that, you know, there's probably not much chance that I'm going to be going to the Arctic.
There you go. Well, and if, you know, you can't, we can't take our students to museums.
Right.
If they offer, you know, virtual tours and things like that, that's an option. And then, you know, someday maybe they'll actually be able to reach out and touch some of those pieces.
I think from a teaching and learning perspective, what we're going to find is these connections and these understandings that we have. Teaching is so difficult to do because you don't know the effectiveness, you know, as you're giving the instruction, some very, very primitive tools, you know, testing, quizzing, whatever.
Yep.
But if you could have a student, and for example, the medical example, and that's where I think it will really take off because, one, medical schools are very well funded. So they've got the money to invest in some of the research and things. But in reviewing some of these videos, I've heard doctors that have had years of experience, and the one that comes to mind is they were looking at a brain and a tumor in a brain and what happens when it wraps around, you know, certain structures in the brain, what areas might be affected if we operate on this patient. And, you know, just kind of that light bulb moment for the doctor saying, you know, I've been doing this for 10 years, but I never truly understood why that would happen. Because these visualizations are making it possible.
Well, and trial and error is a lot easier.
Not something you want to do with brain surgery.
No.
So you know, there's that aspect as well. But just unbelievable possibilities in the future. So it's something I want to keep my eye on very closely, and I'll share those links in the show notes. All right, thank you. That wraps it up for episode 187 of Tech Talk for Teachers. Show notes of this episode and archived episodes are available on the web at the EIU Instructional Technology Center website at eiu.edu/ITC. Be sure to check out those show notes because we have a lot of links this time.
That's right.
If you have a comment or suggestion, please send an email to techtalk@eiu.edu or leave a comment on the Tech Talk for Teachers blog. Until next time, this is Tom Grissom.
And Cindy Rich.
Keep on learning.